Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Starting to feel like the Suns might just go ahead and try and bury the Los Angeles Clippers. And while we've got more to talk about with Paul George's legacy, some NBA replay review rearing its ugly head, today is also about, is someone in Major League Baseball going to take off their pants? Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. here with you guys. Chinne Agwimbike going to be joining us after practice at 5 o'clock Eastern like she always does. We're going to have a lot of great guests today. June Lee is going to stop by and help me figure out, our ESPN writer covers a lot of Major League Baseball, if we're just going to finally see one of these angry pitchers actually put their pants down around their ankles like a little kid at a ballpark urinal here and really pop this thing off, because Major League Baseball pitchers appear already fed up with the search, the stop and search by the Major League umpires looking for spider tack and any of these other sticky substances here. We saw this come to a head with Max Scherzer on the mound last night. Joe Girardi, the Phillies manager, apparently challenging not only to see if he had the sticky stuff, but apparently he felt like challenging his integrity, because, man, I thought we were going to get a good old-fashioned manager-on-player fight, and I, for one, welcome that in a year and time where we have watched YouTube fighters go ahead and box with Floyd Mayweather. So we'll get with June on that stuff. We'll talk to Bubba Watson as we get ready for the Travelers coming up here. See if golf's got itself a rivalry that could come to blows here soon with Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. And we'll also talk to John Barry, our ESPN NBA analyst. Get us ready for the Eastern Conference Finals starting up tonight, because Milwaukee, you're on the clock right now. But before we get to that, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And we had another classic. The Western Conference Finals through two games has delivered us two absolute classics. For all the people that wanted to have conversations, worried about what was going to go on without some of the biggest brands in the NBA involved in their Final Four, what was going to happen because we didn't have guys like LeBron James, and hell, Kawhi Leonard's been out, Chris Paul's been out through these early games. We said a while ago the ratings conversation was probably something that was overblown, but I go back to, and I saw a bunch of people tweeting about this today, I go back to a quote that I heard from Bomani Jones a while back, just talking about growing a podcast, growing a show in general, but it can apply to what the NBA's put on display so far through this postseason. Nothing attracts fans like quality. And that's what we've gotten. The brand names are going to be helpful to attracting people in, but if you got people telling you, hey, you might want to turn on Clippers and Suns, it's coming down to the wire yet again in one of these games, it's going to score big time for all these people, no matter where these teams are located or who is out there. We just happen to get lucky and have a couple of marquee stars like Paul George, like Devin Booker, like DeAndre Ayton, who provided one of the better finishes to an NBA game we've seen in recent history. For anyone that missed it, in the waning seconds of this game, 0.7 seconds left, DeAndre Ayton catches an alley-oop on a side out-of-bounds play. As we saw, if you're watching on ESPN Plus right now, getting the replay of it. Jay Crowder throws a perfect pass above the rim. DeAndre Ayton puts it home with 0.7 seconds left. Monty Williams, everyone's snubbed coach of the year, draws up an absolute gem, and they take advantage of a rule that the announcer, Jeff Van Gundy, reminded us on the call. There is no goaltending on an out-of-bounds play. You can be up above the cylinder the way that Ayton was. And I will say this. Adam Silver better write DeAndre Ayton, Jay Crowder, and Monty Williams all a thank you note. Because they saved his behind from the stink of what the rest of that 30 seconds, that last 30 seconds of the game looked like. Crowded by replay reviews, bogged down by constant looks under the hood by the officiating crew, trying to get things right in a way that I cannot fault them for. But when you're the NBA and you've now set it up to a point where the game comes down to Paul George missed three throws on a call you overturned, that in the spirit of the game, one of those touch-and-go out-of-bounds plays, Devin Booker diving for a ball by Paul George, they go under the hood, they go to replay, and they get the call right by the letter of the law. You can see on the slow-mo replay at the end of the game, pivotal moment of the game, that could give the ball to Phoenix with a chance to come and win this thing, or could give the ball to Paul George, give the ball to the Clippers on the other side with a one-point lead and a chance to close things out. After back and forth down the stretch, we saw Paul George, Devin Booker hitting go-ahead shot after go-ahead shot in the final minutes of this game. All of it led to the moment where replay reared its ugly head again. And were it not for this end-of-game moment, this would be the number one headline talked about today. And it's still going to become part of a conversation. And I saw a lot of people, including our own Jay Williams, co-host of Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio earlier this morning, looking square at the replay process and saying, we got to do something different. Chenan Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. That is Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And I can understand, because what we saw, it no doubt down the stretch, all this time we had stopping and standing, affected the outcome of the game in that way. There were a lot of people that thought we shouldn't have even gotten to the point where you review a play, that out-of-bounds play that earlier in the game would have just been called the way the ref saw it down on the court, but they're trying to work against that home TV audience, like every other replay booth in pro sports, whether it's VAR in soccer, whether it's the replay booth in football and the NFL and college football that we're always constantly complaining about here. All of these things continue to come up. And I'd say this, if you want to change the replay process, I'm fine with that, where it can be implemented, as KJ and Z talked about there with Alan Hahn in as well. If you want to change the fact that they can't huddle up on the sidelines, so you're not getting a competitive advantage out of these situations, I'm fine with that. But the more and more I sit and look at it, I can say two things are true at once. It made for an absolutely dreadful TV product with all that standing and watching down the stretch of that game, because I mentioned the pace that we had been going at, right? Paul George down the stretch of that game, what they were doing, the back and forth towards the end of that game. Paul George, the first Clippers player ever, the first Clippers player over the last 25 postseasons, so it feels like ever in my lifetime, with multiple go-ahead field goals inside the final minute of the fourth quarter or overtime. That back and forth, that frenetic pace, all undone by the replay process at the end of this game in the name of getting things right. And so if you want to change that, then we could talk about it, because yes, visually it made it a tough watch down the stretch of that game. But as far as the outcome of that, because Paul George missed those free throws and everyone, the ball don't lie tweets were fully unleashed. And I felt bad for Paul George because he had another rock solid night at the helm without Kawhi Leonard. He was on the road and again, almost managed to take down the two seed in the Western Conference without the benefit of the best player on that team. But if we're looking at what actually happened and saying it's not in the spirit of the law, blah, 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 I understand the complaints, but at the same time, I don't know what you want these officials to do. Because now that we slowed that replay down for everybody sitting at home, if those refs go out there and give that ball back to Phoenix and say, well, if we were calling this in the spirit of the rule, we know what these out-of-bounds plays look like, who pushed it out of bounds, who got it going towards that way, but who did it actually touch last? And if we can all see it and those officials can see it, I don't know how they're supposed to do anything different than what they managed to do last night. And so that's how we are where we are now. A 2-0 lead for the Suns in the Western Conference. Coming up in a little bit, I'll tell you why that is nowhere near insurmountable, especially for the opponent they're facing in this postseason. But we've got the NBA Eastern Conference Finals also on ESPN Radio. You can tune in tonight. Game one, as Chris Middleton and the Bucks host Kevin Huerter and the Hawks. And that actually sounds like we are putting the app marquee on the dais with these two teams. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. Those were your Game 7 heroes in a lot of instances for these games. But before we can get to the Eastern Conference the Eastern Conference Finals, another team in the Eastern Conference finally made their decision who their next head coach would be. See who takes over for one of the banner franchises in the NBA next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chenan and Golic Jr., the podcast.
You know, I can say in all the conversation that we're going to have about the end of the Clippers-Suns game too, whether it is replay review, whether it's the out-of-bounds play, DeAndre Ayton, the job that Jeff Van Gundy did on the broadcast, explain some of these rules and that are a little more obscure end-of-game rules that I know average fans, like myself, especially for basketball, probably didn't get or understand. I'm glad there's one place we haven't gone. Chenan Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. I'm glad we're not doing the Paul George thing today. Like, man, this is a growth moment for all of us, right? Like, I haven't looked around at the rest of the shows to see if anybody did the takes on this, but had himself a hell of a night Like Paul George, the fifth player over the last 20 seasons to score at least 20 points in each of his first 15 games of a postseason. It is Paul George, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, and Dwayne Wade. Like, that's elite company. And I know for the first half of the postseason, he did that without even being the best player on his own team. So there's a little bit different pressure, but we've seen what he's done lately. And it's been incredible. And so for Paul George to miss two critical field goals at the end of the game, at the end of the game. He missed both free throws at the end of the game. He struggled the whole night. He missed five total, the second most in any game in his career, regular season or postseason. He missed six back in 2013. But the point is, Paul George, yes, missed a couple of critical free throws, could have iced the game, but he was also largely the reason they were in it down the stretch to begin with. Watching him go back and forth with Devin Booker was something that made me feel alive. It was fantastic. And so Paul George has come a long way. I said coming off the Western Conference semifinals, another seven series, another game seven win for them, that in my mind, it didn't undo everything about Paul George's past. It didn't change all the way that we should feel about him. But man, it is an impressive resume that he's put up through this postseason. And he deserves credit. Ty Lue, their head coach, deserves credit for getting him to that point. But two free throws in a game where, again, he faced the lion's share of attention from the Suns' defense, was double-teamed at a really high rate, had a bunch of different defenders thrown his way, and still managed to produce like that. I'm glad we're not doing the thing. But here was Paul George after the game talking about those two big misses. And that's probably all that we got to say, right? Like, it was unfortunate. You would have liked him to have stepped up at that point in time, been a bigger force for them. But he wasn't in that moment. But he was one of the main reasons, if not the main one, that he was there to begin with. That team had a chance to begin with to win it. And look what it took to beat them, right? A perfect side out of bounds play. A perfect pass by Jay Crowder, a great play by Monty Williams, and a finish above the rim with 0.7 seconds left by DeAndre Ayton. So I'm glad we're not doing the Paul George slander thing today. It would be useless. That would be a tired exercise. Let's save it for if he really does something ghastly in all of this. But the rest of this time has looked pretty good. Chenea and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We do have news out of the NBA, though, before we can look ahead to the Eastern Conference Finals that are going to start tonight on ESPN Radio between the Bucks and the Hawks. We do have news out of the East. And this is like an encouraging lesson, I think, for all sports. Because sometimes we make these conversations about player influence way, way too overblown. We saw it happen in the NFL this year with the stuff with Russell Wilson, the conversations around Aaron Rodgers. We've seen it happen in the NBA, people throwing LeBron James out here, talking about him running these franchises, questioning how much influence players can have. This is how easy it can be, because Adrian Wojnarowski, our ESPN NBA insider, is reporting that the Boston Celtics are expected to hire Ime Udoka, assistant head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. He was a seven-year longtime assistant in San Antonio under Greg Popovich as the next head coach for the Boston Celtics. Brad Stevens moved into the front office. And so in addition to the Kemba Walker trade, this hire now becomes a part of this new regime and what they're doing going forward. But in reading Roach's reporting, the one thing that's really encouraging is, hey, this is how easy it can be to make sure that you are helping put everyone in a position to succeed with this hire. Because one of the things that Woj mentioned was that Ime Udoka, who again, 43-year-old coach, was with Brooklyn under Steve Nash this past season, was highly recommended by Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Marcus Smart, who all played for him on Team USA in the 2019 FIBA World Cup. So hey, your star players have a familiarity with this guy, a pretty healthy amount of respect for a guy that they've been coached by in the past. He comes with a pretty healthy resume. And when it came down, I believe it came down to him beating out Bucks assistant Darvin Ham as well as Chauncey Billups. When you're looking around at all those and saying, all right, we like things about all these candidates, but hey, this one comes pretty highly recommended from the guys that we expect to be big time stars for us going forward. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I'm a simple, as my friend Trey Wingo used to say, just a simple unfrozen caveman here. But it seems like in this particular instance, weighing their voices, not as the be-all end-all, but as an influence on that process, can help your team function pretty well. And so this, again, extends beyond just what we've seen in the NBA. This can apply to some NFL teams that seem to have had some issues understanding how to read the tea leaves around their star players. It's allowed to be this easy. It's okay. None of this has to hurt. Now, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN is where you can get in touch with us on the Goodyear hotline. But coming up next, if you're wondering why every time you turn on your television, you see a different major league pitcher starting to take off his pants and wonder, how is this going to end? We have got the answers for you next and why we may have reached a boiling point last night. We'll get to that after this word from Indeed. Now, the good news is your business doubled. Congrats. That's awesome. You rock. I'm happy for you. The even better news is Indeed can help you hire the right people without the wait times of the typical recruiting process. That's because Indeed has a great hiring platform where you can make calls, schedule virtual interviews, and talk to candidates over video right from your easy-to-use employer dashboard. It is that simple, guys. It's just another reason that Indeed delivers four times more hires than all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Find your next great hire at Indeed.com/credit. Is Max Scherzer going to hit somebody? For real, not with a baseball. With his pants down? We'll explain next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Gola Jr., the podcast.
It's Janae and Gola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And these are the perils of doing shows at home right now. I'm on the road. I mentioned to you guys I'm in South Bend. I'm back. All right. I think we're back. Janae and Gola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more. I'm not kidding you guys. That was caused because two pugs right now, if you're watching on ESPN Plus, as they stare at me like they don't know what's going on in here, just unplugged all the electronic stuff I had over here.
Junior.
I had to get that done on the fly.
Who won the fight?
There were no winners right now. We have normally very good boys around here who take their jobs in sports talk radio very seriously. They have come down while I've been here. They've been great partners and co-hosts on this show as we wait for Janae Agumake at 5 o'clock Eastern. But today, I don't know what's gotten into them right now. We're going to have a very long talk after this. They're giving me some googly eyes right now, and it is not going to work. I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to let them know I'm disappointed in them right now. Whew! Guys, I'm not going to lie. I am a little sweaty right now, and I am not the only one. Now I think I understand what's going on in Major League Baseball fully and truly, because this is the kind of sauce that we saw brought to the party last night. So for anyone who's missed it over the last couple of days, Major League Baseball began their crackdown on the sticky stuff hanging out on baseballs. The sticky stuff that Major League pitchers have been using for years, whether it's spider tack, rosin, whatever you want to call it, whatever combinations of material they have used, it has gotten to the point now where, well, Major League Baseball looked up and said offense wasn't doing so well, spin rate's too high on these balls, so we're going to go ahead and start checking things. It took it to another level when all of the sudden, Major League Baseball for these checks, it started off as this funny thing. I think Jacob DeGrom was the first game and the first pitcher checked after Major League Baseball started the crackdown on these things. But we got to the fever pitch already, and we're only a couple of days into it. Because last night, the Phillies were playing the Nationals. Max Scherzer was on the mound. And early on in this game, he had already been checked, I believe, once, maybe twice. But in the middle of an inning, around the fourth inning, Joe Girardi, the manager for the Phillies, looked over and decided that he thought something looked suspicious. And so he asked if the umpires would take a look at Max Scherzer again. Max Scherzer, if you have not seen the video of this, is incredible. Because we've seen a lot of pitchers throwing fits about this already through the last couple days of this. Guys very dramatically unbuttoning their pants because you're allowed to check, I believe, the hat, sunglasses, potentially gloves, belts, any place that this substance could have been used in a previous time. And so now going out to check this, Max Scherzer does the thing everyone else is doing where he huffs and puffs and he takes the belt off, and Max Scherzer is already kind of crazy. But we look over and see Joe Girardi start to chirp here. And this is where the rubber really meets the road. Because then Max Scherzer, after being searched out here, defiantly so, retires the next three batters for the Philly. He stares over and glares over at Joe Girardi in that Phillies dugout. And the resulting, we'll call it a ruckus, I think that would be the proper term, or at least one of the proper terms for it, is Joe Girardi essentially challenging Max Scherzer to a fight, which seems like a bad idea, before ultimately getting tossed. And so this is where we land on all of this. We'll hear from some of the parties involved. But what this boils down to is Major League Baseball made their bed, and now they've got to lie in it. We said they probably should have consulted the players more on all of this. We said this should have been something more proactive before the season, after the season. That changing it in real time was going to upset the balance of power here. But this is the other part of it that we probably haven't talked enough about is the pitchers were always probably going to react like this. Baseball players are notoriously weird about their process here. I've said baseball players essentially across the board are like specialists in football. They're that breed of just different guys to be around. And so this was always probably going to go down some form of this way. But now how everyone else responds to it. Because you saw some of the umpires going out laughing, yucking it up with these guys, patting them on the back. Now it seemed to be going above and beyond that. Because Dave Martinez, the Nationals manager, and others are starting to look and say, this is not what it's intended to do. Here was Dave Martinez, who was out there defending Max Scherzer at the mound, defending his player when all this went on, about why he was so upset with Joe Girardi and how this went down. Well, among other things that were said after the game, and I thought this was really interesting here, is when also asked about this, talking about Joe Girardi, someone said, quote, he's a con artist, he has been that for years on TV, referencing the antics that went into this, basically saying, that's not baseball, that this borders on gamesmanship now, that this was something done to try and knock Max Scherzer off his game. Because the other part of this is, I don't know how, as we look at managers around here now, they can justify it as anything but that. Because there's nothing altruistic about this. No one's actually going out here and trying to help police the game. Hell, most of these guys, probably 90% of these guys that we heard, it was Nats GM Mike Rizzo who called Joe Girardi a con artist in light of his behavior there. And said, you know, he loves Joe and scouted him when he was at Northwestern, but said that he is not surprised by this. And so we're getting all of this coming up now because, again, this is going to be about as blatant hypocrisy as anyone will see, right? To do this under the guise of actually trying to police this for any sort of normal reason other than to throw off your opponent is laughable because what we've heard from all these pitchers is this was so rampant through Major League Baseball, your favorite pitcher was probably using something akin to this. And so now to try and believe that this is going to be managers actually out here policing this for anything other than their own game is laughable and it's going to make everyone involved look silly. That being said, I know that we should be above the no pub is bad pub thing, especially for a sport as storied as Major League Baseball. At the same time, these visuals, these loud, bombastic responses from coaches, from managers, from pitchers in these spots, this is a little more in line with that personality we've been asking baseball to show for a while. Max Scherzer is probably a bad example because we've always known the Mad Max thing has kind of been out there. There have been some names involved in this that we've already known. But in a year where we have gotten to celebrate young players doing great things, the juniors that we always talk about, Shohei Ohtani and what he's meant to the sport this year, the human highlight reel that he's been every time he steps to the plate or steps to the mound, when you combine that with now more of a vocal show from pitchers, pitchers who in the past were so adamantly against anybody showing anyone else up, like that was the best part of this for me with Max Scherzer was his immediate response was as soon as I get done with this, bam, looking exactly, eyes at you, what we see and expect in almost every other sport. So part of me looks at this and goes, yes, is it a bit childish? Is all of this going to probably get old at some point? Is it old for me right now? No, probably not, because it's just nice to see that people have a pulse. Like, so much time was spent talking about this sport, needing to do more growing at stars, needing to do more to market them, all of these different things. But at the same time, part of that also has to be people wanting to be marketed, people wanting to work with it, people wanting to show you a bit more than going out there and constantly being afraid of success because failure is so overwhelmingly the thing that happens in a sport like baseball. You can look at all the averages. So it's kind of nice for me to see people acting up and acting out a little bit. Like, yeah, no, we are a little upset about this, and we're not going to treat this like it's closer to golf or to some old gentleman's game. We're actually going to let you know. Again, there's a line for everything. We're probably close to crossing it. Am I still laughing at these pitchers who walk out to the mound and just start unbuckling their pants? Yes. Does that make me a child? Probably. Am I waiting for one of them to drop their pants to their ankles like it's a third grader at a urinal for the first time? Yeah, I think that'd be pretty great. But we're seeing right now the other portion of this is going to be, all right, how long do umpires let this persist? And how does this get justified? Because one of the things that came out of this is Major League Baseball consulted the umpires and determined that Joe Girardi's request was legit. Joe Girardi said that he saw Max Scherzer wiping his hair or wiping his forehead in a way that he hadn't before and thought it looked suspicious. And that's why he wanted this looked at. And so how long is this going to go? Because this is quickly going to go from something trying to be enforced to tactic like it was last night. And Major League Baseball is going to have a conversation with the umpires about how this goes down and how this gets officiated. Because some is great, but more is not better when it comes to this being a headline for Major League Baseball. It's a great hook right now. It's a great thing to watch and see how these players and pitchers are going to react. But the last thing you want to do is it all of a sudden taking cracks at the integrity of what actually happens during those nine innings over the course of a game. At Mike Golic Jr. on Twitter is where you can get at me. I'm going to go into this break and try and get some dog treats down here so I don't have to worry about getting disconnected by the man's best friend, by my faithful pugs. The betrayal down here. They're both feigning innocence right now, pretending to take naps here, but I'm not buying it. So coming up next, we're going to go to a sport that knows how to do fisticuffs the right way. It's time for On Thin Ice as we look at the Stanley Cup playoffs continuing to march on next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I am going to try my best to compose myself here for the remainder of this hour. Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Jhené Egbuemeke going to be joining us back in 10 minutes, and mercifully so, because my two pugs, Hank and Harry, are family's pugs. I'm out here in South Bend. Have been hanging out. They've been my faithful co-hosts for the last couple of days of the show, until they decided to hump each other on the electronic equipment over here and unplug something in the middle of the last segment. Now I am caked in sweat here. I am very uncomfortable. I'm trying to just make sure everything goes okay right now. And so while I try and regain my composure here and see if I can get these dogs to both play nice, I figured I would enlist some help in all this one. Now, we have somehow managed to continue to do this time and time again, and we have made it through. On Thin Ice with Ryan Matlack, our great producer here in ESPN Radio, has become a staple, nay, a fixture of this department here as we truck on and press on further and further into the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're in the semifinal round right now. And so, back for, I believe, the fourth, maybe even fifth time, On Thin Ice with Ryan Matlack. Matlack, how we doing, buddy? We feeling good.
We're feeling really good right now. You know, I think we already got a bit of that playoff hockey atmosphere thanks to the pugs. I think they really set the tone nicely for us. Hit the music, Jake. Oh, man, another good one. But as usual, we're actually going to start outside the playoffs here. Hit it, Jake.
Number three.
Yeah, shout out to Carl Gunnarsson. Why am I bringing up Carl Gunnarsson? Well, he announced his retirement today, and the reason that's significant, Junior, is because Carl Gunnarsson is a part of a very elite fraternity, and that is players who left the Maple Leafs to go find success with another team, and in this case, the St. Louis Blues. Stanley Cup champion, best to him and his family as he enters retirement. Number two.
Number two.
That one didn't feel deeply personal at all, Matlack.
No, not at all. I don't think that was biased. The Knights are on the brink of elimination. I have to say, I'm a big fan of the Flower. We know this. We've talked about this a few times. But at this point, I think it's time for Vegas to go to Robin Lehner. They did in Game 4. It worked out for them. Game 5, not so much. We're going to see if the... I think the Knights can force a Game 7, but for the most part, this is a Habs series to lose. And I'm not even going to pretend to sit here and tell you why the Habs continue to play so well, other than just, you know, nice hockey work. It's like opportunistic and goalies who, quote, stand on their head. So we're going to move on for that because I cannot explain the Montreal Canadiens. Best of luck them going forward.
Number one.
I can't believe we're ditching the Flower already here. We've been singing the Flower's praises for the last 4 weeks of this, Matlack.
Listen, I'm Flower Power fan number one. Like, I'm and James Steele, Penguins fan. Obviously, Flower doing plenty of great things for the Pittsburgh Penguins back in the day. We're always going to be team Marc-Andre Fleury, but at this point, you need to go to the hot hand, and that has been Lehner, at least for a game, a big pivotal Game 4 win. Speaking of the brink of elimination, oh, shoot, I forgot about the best part. Game 5 of the Lightning and the Islanders. Want me to recap it for you real quick, Junior? It kind of went like this with a little help from Kurt Russell from Miracle. Okay, get out of here, DJ Khaled. All right, gut check time on the island. New York down 3-2. This is one you should be glued to tonight. That Game 5, an outlier, I should say. This happens in hockey. Heck, we saw the Maple Leafs win 5-0 against the Habs, and they really haven't lost since. So I think this might be a good thing for the New York Islanders, get some luck back on their side. I believe we're going to have two series heading to Game 7, at least. That is the goal. I'm going to try to calm down here. Hopefully the Pugs are settled down as well, Junior, and we can get back to some sports talk.
This is going to be interesting. So, Matt, like, as we get ready for this one tonight, as you mentioned, a monster one there. The Lightning are somewhere still scoring goals right now based on that one. Stamkos, the Flow, it's all there. This could actually be the last game at the Nassau Coliseum tonight, correct?
It could be. I think that this is going to be probably one of the more louder arenas you've heard, not just in this postseason, because Nassau has been bringing it, but I think that place is going to be deafening, just so much as you hear Vegas having a tremendous home rink advantage. I think at this point, the Islanders should win this game, but it's going to be a real tough way for the building to go out if they don't make it happen.
I was going to say, that's certainly one of the more famed barns around, and so hopefully they can get it back there even. We'd always like more hockey around these parts, which would mean more on thin ice with Ryan Matlack. Matlack, how are we feeling, buddy? You keep going through this right now. You're starting to pick up legions of fans, and your dad basically huddled somewhere right now, making sure he's dialed in just for this segment.
Yeah, shout out to Chris Matlack right now, who is somewhere at the house back in New Hampshire trying to hide from my mom and her coworkers, and he was going to listen to the segment, so I hope he enjoyed every bit of it. Yeah, we're feeling good. I have to admit to you, though, I was trying to get the mask to stay on a little tighter today. And I got some, you know, I jerry-rigged. I got some paper clips on the back, and I'm losing circulation left and right here. So get ready to take the puck back. I'm passing it to you.
I was going to say, you went with the Eurocut mask today here, which is, anyone has ever seen that, like in those weight loss commercials where they try and stick that on the shirt behind you there? It looks really good for the time being, and then you end up getting ready to pass out right now. So great stuff from Ryan Matlack, as always, as we march on through the Stanley Cup semifinals in the playoffs. And as you mentioned, the atmospheres have been a huge story of this playoffs. Like, I know so many people in sports, no matter what the sport is, love to bring up the ratings conversations here, which is always kind of weird to me because that shouldn't matter to but so many people. And whether it's been the NHL, whether it's been the NBA postseason, what we've seen, you know, I got to, like I said, go back in person to a couple of WNBA games last week. Nothing has really changed, I think, the landscape of sports, and really made me eat some of my words in the past, because I know sometimes the relationship between fans and the media, between fans and players, can be so antagonistic. But if the last year in sports taught us anything, it's the full rinks you see right now, the full arenas that we've seen right now. They have made this postseason run what it's been throughout every sport, which has been sensational in so many of these instances. So great to see everybody back out there. Great to see it rocking. Like Matlack said, let's hope Nassau Coliseum can go out in style and see another win before it's all said and done. But coming up next, we've had plenty of wins to go around in the Valley of the Sun right now. As Chiné pointed out yesterday, the Valley boys in the Phoenix Suns have had it cooking there. But is a 2-0 lead safe looking across at this Clippers team? History in our minds would tell us no, but recent history in this postseason says this isn't a done deal. We'll tell you why next here on ESPN Radio and streaming on ESPN+.
Thanks for listening to Chiné and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.